Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Your Gallette going to make an impact for the Redskins? Will he be a stud? Will he be a dud in 2017? That is the question. 800-636-1067 is the number. 800-636-1067. Before we get back to the calls, and we will get to them in just a moment. Last night, the Pirates were playing the Dodgers in Pittsburgh. One of the craziest occurrences in sports this year, and certainly in Major League Baseball all season. Did you see what happened?
No.
Rich Hill took a no-hitter into the 10th inning.
Oh, I take it back. I did see that. I just forgot that's what you're talking about. Yeah.
Hill, who's 37 years old for a Dodgers team that's on pace for over 115 wins, was looking for their 90th of the season.
He's been good.
Having another good year. So he was through 9 innings of no-hit ball in a scoreless game. Because the Dodgers hadn't scored a run, he didn't get to throw a no-hitter. And by the way, it would have been a perfect game if not for an error on his third baseman in the 9th inning. He was perfect through 8.
Mm.
So perfect through 8, no hits through 9, they go to the 10th. He stays on the mound because he'd only throw 95 pitches. The first batter of the 10th inning in a scoreless game in the bottom of the frame in Pittsburgh was Josh Harrison, who takes him deep for a walk-off homer.
How about it?
So Rich Hill, who didn't allow a run through 9 innings because he didn't allow a hit through 9 innings and was perfect through 8 innings, lost the game on basically his first mistake of the night on a solo home run to left
the phrase,
on the road.
Hard luck loser would apply there.
This is why wins and losses in baseball just don't matter.
Just silly.
Volume number 273. Let's go to Danny in D.C.
Danny.
Stud or dud season for Junior Gallette?
I'm going with stud simply because when we got him 2 years ago, we were, you know, he had the situation with the Saints, but we were excited to have someone that actually had double-digit sacks. I mean, first of all, what are we comparing him to? We don't have that many elite linebackers or even elite defensive players, especially in the front seven. So I'm going with stud simply because if he even has 5 to 6 sacks, I would consider that an upgrade as a free agent coming in on the cheap side. So I'm all in. I'm all in on Junior Gallette.
Danny, I love that take, and your name is tremendous as well. The idea, though, that this is beyond house money. This is house money that you found on the ground. I mean, this would be found joy if he gives you 5, 6, 7 sacks. Because here's what that means. He played double-digit games. Because you're literally the minimum expense, no investment required. You just waited this out and hoped that something happened. You drafted for the future in Ryan Anderson. You've spent resources, second-round picks, and multiple years on that position. You've put resources in it. And if it's the guy that you didn't count on does it for you, what a coup that would be for this defense. I just can't count on it because of injury. That's all.
The fact that they've stood by him, though, not just that first year when no one wanted to touch him and they did, but then the second year after the injury, they said, we'll try this again. Then he gets the tattoo on his arm because they bring him back for a third year.
Mm-hmm.
And they're paying him on the minimum for the second time, essentially, in 2 seasons. But it would be a great story if he could give them anything. It would also suddenly be pretty important. Because let me swing this in a different direction. If he doesn't help them, and if he is a dud, we know what it's going to look like if he's a stud.
Right.
Their defense is a lot better than we may be anticipating. If he is either hurt, say he gets hurt in the preseason or in week 1 or week 2 or whenever, Trent Murphy's already out for the year, plus the suspension from him. You've got Kerrigan, Ryan Anderson, Preston Smith. Anderson, not a known commodity. Smith, last year, a disappointment. Kerrigan, who can't do it on his own. Danny, that's not enough.
No, it's not.
That is not good enough to get pass rush from outside linebacker. Kerrigan would go get his normal numbers. And because there wouldn't be anyone rushing from the other side, that was particularly scary. Maybe 11 becomes, you know, 10, 10 and a half, whatever. But he can't get back to 13, 13 and a half on his own. That takes a year where he's got Brian Arakpo or somebody
else. He's got somebody else, yeah.
Who can help him out.
Get to shade the back or the tight end on that side, et cetera.
If Junior Gallette is a dud, Ryan Anderson becomes one of the most important players on this football
team. And that's kind of what I'm counting on, by the way. I'm telling you, I am more bullish. I probably talked myself into this, which is probably a bad sign because I'll be severely let down.
Yeah, because there's really no reason to be. He played one preseason game pretty well, and he hasn't played since.
Yeah, I'm fully on board. I've got a ticket. I plan on going to the dining car pretty soon. I am on this Ryan Anderson train. I am talking myself every day into more bullish and bullish prognostications for the guy.
You normally get so down on guys who aren't healthy as rookies right away.
I know.
Why aren't you worried about him at all? Normally, your default is, wait, he's got an issue. And I'm like, yeah, it's not a big deal. It's football. And then you tell me that he's never going to be the same because he's a Redskin. Why aren't you worried about him at all?
I don't know. I don't have a good reason for it. Because usually what you're saying is correct about me. I just dread a guy that's a rookie that goes to the training table even for like a split second. Even to get his ankle taped. Next thing you know, like he's out of the league. I am still, though, because I saw that first game performance. I've still got that fresh in my mind. I'm still hoping he comes back and does Ryan Anderson things. It's just because I want the approach endorsed where, when in doubt, please partake in excellent SEC defensive players. If there's a tie and you want someone to break the tie in the room like the president pro tempore in the house, please walk up and select the SEC defensive excellence. Please bring me that. I want that philosophy to work out. So that there are more Ryan Andersons. I want more ballers from the best conference in America.
Anderson has to be good if this defense is going to be good. A few other guys I'd put in that category, and it's somewhat ominous to label them that way because it's not a great bet that they're going to have big seasons.
Sure.
Phil Taylor at nose tackle.
That's my first list, yeah.
I mean, if Phil Taylor can be a beneficial piece and a building block over the next couple years, you're in the fast lane to being a much better defense. I'm not going to throw guys like Terrell McClain and Stacey McGee into that. They'd be helpful, but I don't know that they're vital in that regard. I would say Jonathan Allen, the rookie. Jonathan Allen, you got to hit on that pick. That's a first-round pick. He's got to go out there and get you a handful of sacks from the 3 and 5 tech positions.
Collapse the pocket a little bit.
Yeah, just push the pocket from the interior, stuff the run. He's got to be good. Another guy I'd throw on that list is DJ Swearinger.
Those are my three are Phil Taylor, Ryan Anderson, DJ Swearinger. Yeah. Those three, if they're going to be good, I'm not even talking about top 10.
Maybe Breland on that list?
I'm in middle of the pack, just okay.
If you know how those three, and if you throw Breland on it, those four guys play this year, you'll know if this defense is really good or not.
Those are good indicators. There's your canary in the coal mine.
If you say, okay, Junior Gallette's going to have 6 sacks, Ryan Anderson's going to have 6 sacks, and Jonathan Allen's going to have 5 and be really good on the defensive line, I'd say this is going to be an impressive top half of the league, somewhere between 13 and 16 in defense. Club, yeah, which is good enough to win 9 or 10 games.
I'd say you're not epically bad on third down that set records. I'd say you're not an embarrassment. I'd say you're a defense that can be fine at a minimum with those. Then you start telling me what DJ Swearinger did, what Breland did. I could get down with the thinking there.
Remember how high I was on Preston Smith last year?
Yeah.
I'm much lower on him now.
Me too. Here's the thing. I didn't mean to cut you off, but we railed against people that said, well, then I'm Junior Gallette. Well, they have Preston Smith. And I said, no. You misunderstood. And we proved right on that part of it.
Correct. But my issue with Preston Smith is less with him and how he's used is the bigger deal. Because I do genuinely believe, he went somewhere else where they just decided to use him what I consider to be properly with his length, keeping people off of him and kind of playing at the line of scrimmage. I actually think he'd be a much more helpful piece than what he is in Washington right now. I just think that they've completely miscast
him. Do what he did in school. Move him around every play.
But those are some of the names on defense that have to perform. And obviously, your Kerrigans, your Zach Browns, and even a player in the secondary like a Josh Norman, if they don't play on top of their game, that's a problem. But you know what those guys are. And those guys, if they're on the field, are going to perform. You don't have that same confidence in Phil Taylor, who was out of football last year, DJ Swearinger, who can never stay in one organization, Jonathan Allen, Ryan Anderson, who have never done it before as second and first round picks, respectively.
I mean, again, they can be better than they were last year and still not good enough, which is what I'm predicting, by the way. I think they'll be, without a doubt, better than last year. But here's the thing. You can raise your score on a test by 20 points and still get an F. You know what I mean? I remember I took a math test once where I got a 27. The next time out, I did much better. I got a 53. Still a F right there on the top of the page.
Right.
I improved. I think they'll improve, but still not be anywhere near good enough.
As of right now, it looks like 3 rookies are going to play a lot at the beginning of the year. Anderson, Allen, and I'd say Samaje Perine. A 4th could play, depending on Spencer Long's health, and that's Chase Roullier, the center. And then I would not rule out a guy like Fabian Moreau, depending on how the next 2 weeks in the preseason go. He had the big hit on punt team, had 2 tackles on special teams, and looked decent at corner.
It's easy to be excited about the kid, right?
He could work his way up the depth chart a little bit. So they could have as many as 4 or 5 contributors from that draft class this year, which would be a really big thing for them. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan, and Max Scherzer update, and the latest we've got on how the rally went in support of Colin Kaepernick yesterday, live next right here on Grant and Danny. Hey, guys, Grant Paulson for my friend Jerry Mannix of Mannix Heating and Cooling. His team, true pros in all aspects of their game. Clean and respectful in your home. I know this because they went to my dad's house. My dad's got a room that is so uncomfortable, his sunroom. My buddy was telling me yesterday he's got a room where he sleeps upstairs in his house that is always 10 degrees warmer than the rest of his house. Fix that. It's not as expensive as you'd think if you use Jerry Mannix, because they use Mitsubishi electric equipment that does not require the tedious ductwork, that is not nearly as expensive as tearing a bunch of things apart and sending pipes up through your house. They get this done correctly the first time at a rate that'll blow you away, and they do it better than anybody else. They use that Mitsubishi electric equipment where you can control your system remotely with a smartphone or a tablet when they are done. They'll come and they'll go in one day. Most of the time, it takes a couple of hours. Mannix Heating and Cooling. Call them. 703-777-9211. Stop sweating your way through the summer. 703-777-9211 or MannixHVAC.com for all of your heating and cooling needs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.